That was, of course, is Status Quo and In the Army Now. And the reason we're playing that is because we wanted to sign someone up to get a snapshot of what life is like for those serving in the Defence Forces and to find out what they're actually doing all day. So we got Lieutenant Private Henry McKean off to the Curragh, Ireland's biggest army camp with over 1,000 personnel in the heart of Kildare on the Curragh Plains there. And he is reporting back dutifully to us now. Henry, what do the Irish Defence Forces actually do?
Well, there's 9,200 of them.
Oh, I thought there was only 8,000.
No, there's 9,200. That includes the Navy, 1,000, the Air Corps, 700, and then there's 2,000 in reserve. They do lots of different things. They support the civil nation during floods or an emergency. When I visited, I couldn't get over how professional and young they were. They were so young. I mean, I'm 39. What are you, 59 or something?
58, yeah.
And they are, you know, in their 20s and 30s, serving in Lebanon, Syria, 640 overseas of them abroad, 13 different missions. They are peacekeepers. They prepare for a possible armed attack against the state, humanitarian relief. The naval service has saved 20,000 lives in the Mediterranean so far, picking up stricken boats in the last few years. Obviously, they assist the Gardaí. They were based there on the border counties during the Troubles. They've stopped the cash and transit van. Remember, they used to hang out with the cash and transit vans to stop robberies. They stopped that back in 2014. Obviously, they police the fisheries, search and rescue, bomb disposal, air ambulance, and transporting people like you. Well, former ministers, well, ministers around the world. They do a lot. I could go on. And they're a small defense forces compared to the Americans. There's 1.3 million personnel in the American army with a budget of $600 billion. The Chinese, a budget of $150 billion. 2.3 million troops. And the British Army, 81,000 troops, a budget of $60 billion. But we're going to get on to Captain Kira Ní Rourke. She explained about the gunfire going off behind us in the Curragh.
Generally, this time of year, we do our annual range practices. Personnel from the Curragh camp firing their annual range practices, firing the Steyr rifle, just to make sure that they're current and safe practices on the ranges.
And I'm completely safe.
Absolutely. The main thing I really, really love about the Defence Force is the variety of the job. I've been in the Defence Forces 12 years now, so within that time I've served overseas in Undoff and the Golan Heights. The opportunities are endless, really.
So there's 9,000 of you and then 2,000 reserves, so bringing it up to around 11,000. Should it be 2,000 less? And should those 2,000 become doctors and nurses?
Within 2017, a further 750 personnel were recruited into the organisation. In terms of the roles and activities we undertake in an increasingly complex security environment, it's really important that we have defence forces that's capable, modern and able to meet the challenges that we could face. A day in the life of a bomb disposal expert, they may be called out to dispose a viable improvised explosive device. Once they do that role, keeps a town running, keeps people safe. Then you have someone down in the naval service who's on fishery protections, or in the Air Corps providing maritime patrols or air ambulance services. Really, they are vital services that are being provided on a daily basis. 640 personnel serving overseas in 13 different missions around the world at this time. So that's a key role that we really take pride in the Defence Forces, because obviously as peacekeepers with an unbroken service of peace since approximately, I think it's 1958, that's something that we're incredibly proud of, and it's an opportunity as well to hone our skills. So I suppose from my own personal experience of being overseas in Undoff, it was an opportunity as a platoon commander to really do the job as a leader on the ground, which was something that was really important to me personally.
Okay, so they're practicing.
Ivan. Well, obviously, they have to practice. You just got to keep on practicing if you're in the army. Fascinating. And also, I don't know if you've been out to the Curragh recently. They have a museum out there, and they've had over 100 years of things donated by families. Really, really fascinating. Here is Private David Murray, military curator in the Curragh. He has been in the Defence Forces for 21 years.
1913, 1914 was the Irish Volunteers. And then we had the Free State, which was from 22. And then in 1937, Bunreacht na hÉireann came into enactment on the 29th of December 1937, which is our new constitution. And then in 1954 was the Defence Act. Our first mission overseas for the Irish Defence Force was 1948, is when they actually got their first official medal. But prior to that, some of our officers actually went over and trained the likes of West Point with the Americans and actually brought back that knowledge. And there, some of our guys had already been trained by the British and brought that knowledge in. And this is where the Defence Forces Training Centre has sort of, that's the evolution has come from that as well now, which is in the current. I'm immensely proud of being in the Defence Forces over the past 21 years. I've served in four different war zones, Lebanon, Liberia, Kosovo and Syria. The experience you get overseas is just the second to none from any other job you get anywhere else in the world. The Defence Forces, in my personal opinion, could be a little bit bigger. But in saying that, for the population we have and the commitments we have overseas, we have enough at the moment. But we have to keep getting new blood in all the time. Everybody has to sort of move on, bring their experiences onto their next level, and with promotion, pass on their experience they have to the next guy or next girl that's coming through, so they can effectively do their job overseas. I am extremely proud of the Defence Force.
Okay.
Ivan.
On yesterday's programme, we covered how there was this false alarm of a missile attack in Hawaii. The army are preparing for an attack on us, are they?
Well, I mean, there are serious threats against any Western nation at any time.
So what will they do to protect us?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things I can't say. There's various things that are top secret that I've
told. Is it the iodine tablets?
Oh, come on, Ivan, please. These are men and women from all walks of life, from across Ireland, working to keep us safe, to keep other people safe in various war zones across the world. They do, I think, personally, if I can give my personal opinion, I think they do a good job. And I met Cadet Kennedy A getting ready for a chemical, biological, radio nuclear fallout.
We train to survive the fight, or fight to survive.
So you're basically training in case there's chemical warfare. And I'm just going to touch this material here. So is this a special outfit? What is this?
Yeah, so this would be a training seabourn suit. It basically just provides an outer layer of protection against any agents that may be exposed.
My name is Cadet Cormac Nellis. I am from Newcastle, County Down, and I'm 26 years old. Sort of outdoor element, running, jumping, getting dirty, getting stuck in. Soldiering aspect of it as well.
And that gunfire, which I know it shouldn't scare me, but it does a bit. You feel like we're in a war, but we're not. We're training for a war. That's
yes.
Real gunfire.
It is, but you get desensitized to it running about here all day.
There couldn't be a stray bullet coming in, no?
No. There's plenty of safety in operation. We'll be up nice and early, crack of dawn, clean the rooms, get them ready for inspection. Go to breakfast, we'll be on the parade square then. Once we finish inspection, then it's straight into lessons. But from week to week, that completely varies.
Could we have an island with no defence forces? What would happen if there wasn't a defence force?
I don't believe so. There's always a need for some kind of defence force in some capacity. Overseas operations, peacekeeping, or internally aid to the civil power and that as well. There'll always be a need.
So at the moment they're actually checking each other, they're doing a body system.
Body system to make sure that everyone's checking the full suit, that the respirator is fitted correctly. Cooperation, teamwork, a huge element in any sort of drill we do.
But you see, in other countries they have an anti-terrorist unit allied to the cops, and a security force can be deployed like the emergency unit, you know, the ERU.
Yes.
Kinnan and Hutch and all that kind of thing. Why do we need a separate army disposal bomb unit?
Well, I think they do aid the guards in various different things. And, you know, when we take this bomb disposal unit, very skilled job. These people I interviewed didn't want to be identified because they have to remain anonymous for obvious reasons. And they're sent out to pubs, under cars, normally gang relators supporting the Gardaí. Very dangerous job. And they train constantly, and they work with some Irish defence companies and who, you know, they build these bomb disposal robots. And they told me about why they love doing what they do. And some of this I can't play for you because it's a national importance and it's secret.
The great advantage of military training in any aspect, and I think in explosive ordnance disposal is no different, is that you're trained adequately to prepare for these dangers and to mitigate against these dangers. So something that would be very dangerous to a layperson, while it's still dangerous, but once you apply the appropriate safety procedures, measures, and mitigation factors, you can do your job in as safe a manner as possible.
One aspect of my job is quite well known, is to be part of the Defence Forces Explosive Ordnance Disposal. One thing that I like most about the Defence Forces, especially for me, is the variety. I think the most important thing overall is actually the teamwork. Everyone works as a team. As a captain, you'd be the team leader. Every member of that team is very, very important. And that's something that I've seen throughout my career in the Defence Forces, is teamwork.
How would you feel if you left the Defence Forces and became a civvy like me?
I could cope. It would take a bit of adjustment. The environment in the Defence Forces, I've been used to since quite a young age of 17. So it would require a bit of adjusting. However, it's not something that's unforeseen. Given the current environment, there are a lot of job opportunities outside of the Defence Forces, and many people are choosing to take those opportunities.
Do you think the Army changed you at all?
It's hard to know, but I certainly know the people around me think it has. As my mother says, it's turned me into a gentleman.
And so they let you go into one of their light tanks?
Yeah, and that guy there, he admitted he's now a gentleman, which I think is so important because
an
they do become...
An officer and a gentleman.
Absolutely. I did. I got to go in one of their MOAG army vehicles. They're getting refitted. They've been basically stripped because they're going to send them to Switzerland. They are here as a part of the...
Another neutral state, Switzerland. Why are they sending the tanks to Switzerland?
Because the MOAGs are made there. These particular small tanks are made there. Let's take a listen.
I suppose it's for thin, fit people. I'm struggling to move around in it.
There's plenty of room for storage of our backpacks, personal weapons, personal equipment, whatever we might need. So it just takes a bit of getting used to moving around it. But absolutely, there's no problem. Like, we've had these vehicles over in nearly every operating theatre we've been in. So in UNIFIL, the Golan Heights, in Africa, in the Baltics, pretty much everywhere we've served, they've come with us. So they're extremely valuable and useful to us in the organisation. It just gives us an opportunity to provide high mobility and capability so we can move quickly and safely in the area of operations.
My name is Private Fein. I'm in the Irish Defence Forces since 2011. Well, they're armoured personnel carrier. They're built for battle taxis, as we call them. Like, you'd fit a full section in the back. You have a gunner and then a driver up the front as well. Fairly good bit of kit. Like, they're a great thing to have in the army. Like, they're very good. It's good to be part of it. Like.
Private Brockle, fixing up the wheels for the refurb going to Switzerland.
How long have you been in the army?
5 years. Nurney, County Kildare.
Down the road?
Down the road, yeah.
That's handy.
10 minutes away, yeah. It's grand.
And have you served overseas?
No, not yet. No.
But you want to?
Yeah, I should be on the next trip. It's be close to top of the list in the next one.
And everyone wants to serve overseas, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It's the main thing for joining the army.
Okay, our thanks to Henry McKean and to the Irish Defence Forces for that insight into what 11,200 people are actually doing all day. Thank you indeed. Text me your view. Should we have more nurses, more teachers, more cops, and less army personnel? 53106.